Hello and welcome into the Water Break Sports Podcast. I'm Prashant Jovanputra, and the NFL preseason is in full swing on episode 2 of this podcast. And I was thinking, you know, what are some of the best teams going into this season now that the offseason is over? Here's my top 3. We'll start off with the Chiefs at number 3, and they should be in everyone's top 3, I would think, because you got Patrick Mahomes, who is he's special. Yeah, everyone says it. It's probably oversaid by now, but he is special. When you're talking about 50 touchdowns to 12 interceptions in his second year, 5,000-yard passing season, and led the league in QBR. And you still have all your weapons if you're Patrick Mahomes, because you still have Tyreek Hill, not going to be suspended, still have Travis Kelce, and you still have Sammy Watkins. And the key for the Chiefs is obviously going to be their defense now, if that defense can improve and back Mahomes up. Number 2, I got the New York Jets. They're kind of the opposite of the Chiefs, I think. The defense, I think, looks really good after you went and got C.J. Mosley. You added the defensive line with Quinnen Williams, the 3rd overall pick. Jamal Adams is back, possibly the best safety in the league, some could argue. And you got Le'Veon Bell to help the young Sam Darnold, who's going to have a breakout year. Like the Chiefs, like I said, they're the opposite. They have Mahomes, who has proved himself, at least to me, and the defense, who needs to prove themselves. And I think the Jets, they need Sam Darnold to prove himself in his second year in the NFL. Number 1, I got the Eagles. Everything is ready for Carson Wentz to take off, like he did when he would have won MVP until he got injured. You went and got Jordan Howard. DeSean Jackson is back. You still have Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey. Corey Clement is back healthy. Offensive line looks good as it was last year with Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, Jason Peters. And they added to that in the first round with Andre Dillard. So offensive line looks ready to go. It's just a matter of Carson Wentz can stay healthy because he doesn't have the safety net this year. That was Nick Foles. He's obviously in Jacksonville now. And that defense looks, I think it's going to be a very good defense because, you know, their weakness was the secondary, and that secondary got much better throughout the season. When you talk about LeBlanc, Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox, and not to mention that you have Derek Barnett, Jalen Mills, and Ronnie McLeod all coming back healthy. So I think the defense is going to be ready to roll this season. Also this week, the NBA schedule for opening night and Christmas Day came out, and the Lakers and Clippers will play on both days, opening night and Christmas Day. So the obvious question now is who's better, you know, Lakers or Clippers? Because obviously the center of the NBA will be in LA this year, and personally, I can't really tell who's better because you look at the Clippers and that defense. You know, they're going to be tremendous on the defensive side. But LeBron and AD for the Lakers, yeah, that's a great combo right there. And I think AD is really going to be the key because, you know, the Clippers don't have someone to defend him. They have Montrezl Harrell, but I don't see him being able to stop Anthony Davis the way that Kawhi Leonard or Paul George might be able to stop LeBron James. But when you talk about predictions just for those 2 days, here's how I see it playing out. I think the Lakers will win opening night. I think LeBron and AD will go out and they're going to try to dominate the game and show who's boss in LA. And I think the Lakers are going to have a big win and get everyone pumped up for the Lakers. But then when Christmas Day comes around, I think you're going to see, you know, kind of the Lakers struggle a bit. You know, they're going to be trying to find their way. Build some chemistry, build a play style, I think, still into Christmas Day. And the Clippers, I think they just have an easier fit for that team with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And I think that's going to help them get to a faster start, possibly. I think the Lakers will figure out everything before the playoffs start. But, it's going to take some time, I think, for that team to really develop into a playoff contender. I think they might start off slow, like how the Heat did when LeBron went there. And then by the end of playoffs, they're going to be really clicking on the offensive and possibly defensive side of the ball. Let's talk some baseball. You know, and I have to get something off my chest. as a Phillies fan, living right outside Philadelphia in the suburbs, you know, the Phillies have gave a lot of stress, I think, to their fans. Where you go out and get Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto and Andrew McCutchen, and they're still battling for a wild card spot, you know. And personally for me, I think this year should just be a get better for next year type of deal, where still compete for that wild card spot, try and make playoffs, build some playoff experience. Now, get some experience in the playoffs with these young guys. You know, not a lot of guys have been there yet. But the thing for me at the trade deadline, a lot of Phillies fans, I think, wanted the Phillies to go out and get someone big. And they went out and got Corey Dickerson. But personally, I would not even have gotten Corey Dickerson. I think it's better to have Adam Haseley up on the 25-man roster for the Phillies. Because, you know what, Adam Haseley, he's going to be here next year. Corey Dickerson, he's a free agent after this year. And I think Haseley, if he gets more playing time, improves the team for next year and building forward. Because, listen, the Phillies are not built for a deep playoff run this year. They're not going to make the World Series. Even if they can't even get past the NLDS probably because they just don't have the pitching, I think. And that's another thing. Well, the future is still bright with this team because the offense is there. The offense is going to be good for years to come with Bryce Harper in that lineup and Rhys Hoskins. If you can sign Realmuto, that's going to be a big sign this free agency if they can get Realmuto to come back. Hopefully they do. But that offense looks good, and you get Andrew McCutchen back too next year. But that pitching needs help. There's not much to say besides they really need help pitching-wise. Bullpen and starting pitching. But, you know, they can go out and get someone. I know they spent a lot of money on Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen this past offseason. So you might be saying, well, they're not going to go get another starting pitcher or another star player for a lot of money. But you know what? If you're the Phillies, I think you have to. You know, you're built to win now. You got to go get your guy, if that's Madison Bumgarner, Gerrit Cole, who are both free agents after this year, Hyejin Ryu, Michael Wacha. There are options on Corey Kluber, Chris Archer, Julio Teheran. So I think the Phillies really should be building for next year. You know, just keep getting experience. That's why I didn't like Franco getting set down. He's going to be back up next year. You know, I think Kingery will find... I think they will find a spot for Kingery and Franco to both play. Somehow, some way, they will. So for Franco to get put down in AAA, you know, I didn't think that made a lot of sense. But I think they should be really focusing on next year and this year just trying to, you know, get this team and show them what it's like in these September runs and these playoff runs for the wild card. And, you know, if they can get to the playoffs, great. They can gain some experience. But they're not getting past the NLDS, even if they can get to the NLDS. So just gain experience and try to build for next year. And I think this team could really win come next year, then go out and get pitching, though. It all starts with pitching. I said that even before they got Bryce Harper. They need to go out and get pitching. That's going to be the problem. When I said that this past offseason when it came to this year, that pitching was going to be the problem. And they didn't really focus on that. Jake Arrieta, I think it's time for him to also go. And Gabe Kapler, I think, needs to go. You know, all his experiments with the lineup and everything, it just doesn't work. It really doesn't. You can see, I think, the Philly fans really starting to not like Gabe Kapler. And I think this second year for him was enough. I've personally seen enough to say that Gabe Kapler needs to go. And, you know, they need to bring someone who is going to be beloved in the city. Gabe Kapler, I don't think, will ever be beloved in the city. I really don't because, you know, it's just been a struggle for him. And it doesn't seem to bother him enough, I feel like. All right, folks, the Water Break Sports Podcast is over. It's time to get back to practice, work, school, or wherever, whatever you may be doing. And I'll see you next time.